First and Sports Grill. KRW Bearcat Country Show for the upcoming sports season out at Northwest Missouri State University. I'm John Coffey, alongside is Matt Tritton. We also have over to our left, helping with the program behind the scenes, Ryan Elliott, along with this year's sideline reporter, Jenny James. And Matt Tritton, we are looking for another fun sports season coming up, but it's going to be tough to top what we had a year ago, but it looks like some things are in place. It could be another great year.
It was a pretty fantastic 2016-2017, was it? You start off with national championships, obviously, Northwest Missouri State football and basketball, and the first time that's ever been done in Division II history, and kind of looking forward to football continuing that on tomorrow, but also a couple of teams that we have on the show tonight as well with cross-country and volleyball, some pretty good years there as well. When you look at volleyball starting off 15-0 last season, hoping to build off that first team all MIAA performer Maddie Bruder back, hoping to lead the team even further this year, hopefully into the region tournament. And then cross country, the same thing, another successful year, making it into the NCAA championships for the men's team, finishing 19th overall. So a strong foundation is there. Now it's just time to keep on building, hopefully add a few more rings here for these programs.
Well, we've got a great show on hand tonight. We'll be talking football as well. Head coach the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, will be joining us a little bit later during the program. Athletic director Mel Churchma is here. We'll be talking track and field, as you mentioned, actually cross country with Scott Lorick and a couple runners off of his squad, Melissa Shepherd and Zach Miller, and volleyball with Amy Worth and a player off of her squad, Maddie Bruder, is here as well. So a lot coming up on the show tonight. Matt, one thing, we want to send out a little note to Bob Severson, listening down in Florida. Normally, Bob's one of those here for the show every week, recuperating a little bit, but we hope to see him back here for the coach's show real soon.
Definitely. You know what? If you can't make it out, then best thing to do is tune in. So very cool for Bob, not even in the state, but finding a way to be a part of it and here in spirit tonight.
And again, we hope to wish Bob speedy recovery and to be right back here for the coach's show as soon as possible. Again, we got a lot coming up on our program. A reminder that support for the KXCV KRW Bearcat coach's show comes from the Stuner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. When we come back, we'll talk cross-country. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRW Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville. Their memory care program offers residents emotional and social support, art, music, pet therapies, and more. More at 660-562-2799 or at oakpointmaryville.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Audiovisual, providing customers with sales, design, service, and installation of surveillance and security systems for homes and business, as well as paging and public address systems. More information is available at 660-853-2319.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for home, auto, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information from agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Once again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Time to turn attention to cross country, and head coach Scott Lorick is with us. And Scott, another season starts right around the corner in another couple days for you.
It does. We had our camp out at Mazingo Lake last week before classes started, and that went great. And got a chance to see all of our new people run and join in and be a part of the team. And yeah, all of a sudden, we're ready to go.
And your first meet coming up on Friday, hosting the Bearcat Open. Talk a little bit about the Bearcat Open and the type of competition you'll be running against in that.
Well, it's a smaller meet compared to the rest of our schedule. We've got about five teams coming in. Missouri Western will run their first meet ever, so that'll be fun. And Mid-American Nazarene University, Missouri Valley College, and Peru State are coming in. Then we have, surprisingly, we have two alumni teams that just contacted me about a week and a half ago that they're going to come back and get around the course. But they'll actually be pretty competitive people, so that'll be fun. But we are excited about this first meet. Always doing it at home is a great way to break it in for the freshmen. It's probably the toughest course we'll run on all year, and that's, I think, a great way to start. And then we start with the tougher things when we're higher in strength and endurance, and we'll get faster when we get flatter.
And I know it looks like it's going to be a very good year for your squads, and the polls that have been released for the conference indicate that there's some good things ahead for you if you go by the polls here.
Well, I think so. And those polls are, you know, obviously based a lot on last year and things like that. But, you know, I think it's just kind of fun because I think we earned that. But, yeah, it's obviously it's a new year. Our teams have definitely different looks than we had last year. Some changes in personnel. Our men's team has become a younger team than it was last year. We're heavily laden with seniors last year, and our women's team has just almost doubled. We lost no one, and we just added a lot of people. So they're kind of coming into the season a little bit from two different directions, but I'm really excited about both of them.
Well, let's talk about your squads individually, and who are some of the runners that have really stood out up to this point?
Well, I think if we start on our women's side, Sammy Lorenzo was all-conference in cross-country last year and broke our school record in the 10,000 meters, and she's back. This year we're actually going to be holding her out of our first meet, but she'll be ready to go, you know, very soon after this. But she's, you know, our top returner, and Melissa, who's here tonight, has been, you know, our top 1,500 runner and has just been getting better and better and better in cross-country every year. She was our number two runner last year at the region championships. And then we've got a bunch of new people really coming in there, and a few people that sat out last year, so we're kind of, you know, mixing everybody in. On our men's side, Braden Clues Proctor and Brandon Phipps returned from last year's team, and they're both all region. Braden was second in the conference and the region, and they both were on our national team. And then Zach Miller is back, who had just an absolutely outstanding track season. Ran 9:19 in the steeplechase, probably the best track season of his life. You know, cross country the year before was a bit of a struggle for him, and then track he just went nuts. And he's doing that now. He's had a great summer, and he's going to be right up there with Braden and Brandon, and so we're real solid. And then the difference on our men's side is that after that, there's going to be a lot of new people and new faces after that. But I think our top people on both sides, I think I'm feeling very, very good about.
And again, as you mentioned, a lot of these runners you'll hear do well in the spring with the outdoor season and the various events. So talk a little bit about the ones that compete in cross country and then turn around and how each one helps the other season out a little bit by competing.
You know, it does. It's of course, it's year-round for every sport. I mean, every coach who comes up here is going to tell you, it's year-round. And, I mean, of course it is. But our teams, they literally compete throughout the whole school year. I mean, we have cross-country in the fall, then indoor track, and then outdoor track. So we really have to structure how to develop and get some rest while they're competing. You know, and for us, that's generally the indoor season, to use that kind of for some different purposes than just getting after it. But and then the summer, they're training hard throughout the summer, and that sets up their base for, you know, the whole year. So the summer totally determines what April's going to do, you know.
It really seems like in the past, coaches used to use fall camp or whatever to get the your athletes in shape for the start of the season. Now they pretty much have to be in shape when they get here, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we structure our summer program so that they're, essentially 6 weeks away from being at their best, you know. Summer is just absolutely essential, and our kids have done just a fantastic job over the summer, even though, you know, they're all separated and it's hot and they're working summer jobs and, you know, sometimes, you know, just working in that lifestyle of training and working full-time and doing all that kind of stuff, but they do it, and I'm really proud of them for putting it together so well.
And we've got Melissa Shepherd and Zach Miller, and we'll be talking with a bit later, but tell us a little bit about those two and some things that people might not know about them.
Well, they just been, you know, they're around here for 4 years for Zach, and this is Melissa's fifth year, and she worked her academics to come around for the extra year, which we're always trying to do. But, Melissa's had, you know, some injury problems along the way, but, man, I'll tell you what, she's just tough and has come through everything and is having her best years ever at the end. And she's one of those people that worked a full-time job at an arboretum up in Des Moines over the summer and then, you know, got off work, and then she's got to go do her training, you know. And especially in the heat and everything, you know, it's a good commitment. It's very, very solid. And Zach has been doing a lot of ministry work. He's actually, as I mentioned to you before we started, he's gotten a bit of a favorite reputation as kind of a rap guy on the team. And last year, you can ask Zach about this, it's good, but the whole guys team put together this whole rap song that kind of went viral in the cross-country world, and we went down to the region meet, and I didn't know what was going on. So I'm walking in there, and these teams from Arkansas are coming up. He goes, "You're the Northwest guys. You do that awesome rap." And we're like, "Sure, yeah." But they played it for me later. But it's it's just a really fun thing that just really took off.
I imagine things like that though are good for the team, but kind of bonding them for to really help out a little bit as well.
You know, they are. And our kids just get so close, sweating together every day and working that hard that, you know, it's great outlets and it's a lot of fun.
Now, again, your first meet coming up on Friday night here in Maryville, the Bearcat Open, and really probably the best chance for fans around here to come out and watch your squad. Just talk a little bit about what they can expect when they come out for this.
Well, it's our Bearcat Cross Country course is on the west side of Donaldson, Westside Park in Maryville. Tremendous course, and we have really structured this so it's a community thing as well. So we would just love it for people to know about it, get out there, bring your dog, go for a run, go for a walk, whatever you want to do. We've got an entrance gate and a course map and mode paths, and it's really a beautiful place with the lake on the west side and all. And when we ran a 19-team high school meet there just last night, and it's a tough, challenging course, but it's a beautiful course, and I think it's a great thing that enhances our whole university.
All right. Well, Scott, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck on Friday night.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that is Scott Lorick, the head cross-country coach at Northwest Missouri State University. And when we come back, we'll continue to talk cross-country with a couple runners off of his squad, Melissa Shepherd and Zach Miller. They'll be joining us right after this timeout as we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Heinlein Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Heinlein provides furniture and flooring for every room in the house, as well as mattresses. More information is available at heinleinhomefurnishings.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Maryville Glass and Lock. Greg Fisher and his team offer installation and service of overhead doors from Rainer and LiftMaster operators. More at 660-582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Once again, we are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And as we continue to talk cross-country, we have Melissa Shepherd and Zach Miller with us. And it's good to have both of you here on the program here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And I think we were talking before we went on here about your fall camp, I guess, to get ready for the season. You really couldn't ask for much better weather for both of you as far as the mild August to get going for training.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's been really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the best weather we've had since I've been here.
I imagine it makes it a little bit more fun to go out and practice, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
definitely.
And well, let's first talk a little bit about what brought the two of you to Northwest Missouri State. And Zach coming in not too far down the road from St. Joe Central, and again, your interest in becoming a Bearcat.
Yeah, so I had visited a few schools trying to figure out where I wanted to go, and I was actually pretty set on going to Southwest Baptist, and I'm not one for, I don't like being indecisive, so I was like, I'm just going to go there, they're all right. But then my dad actually made me, he's like, oh, you should go try out Northwest to see what it's like, and reluctantly I was like, okay, I'll go up there. And so I fell in love with just the campus for one, and just the beauty of it, and just the family I felt like Northwest was. And then the guys on the team were just so inviting, very welcoming and friendly guys. So yeah, I just fell in love with it then, and have just never regretted that decision since.
And what is this that Scott was just talking about a bit ago about your rapping ability?
I've done a little bit for a few years just for fun, nothing really too serious, but it's kind of developed into us every year kind of doing like a cross-country rap where we just kind of rap about running and have fun, and it's a fun like team bonding kind of experience, and so yeah, we've kind of took that direction with it, and it's been a fun experience for us.
Yeah, you were telling us that your YouTube video, I guess, went viral last year. And
yeah,
so
we had some.
Really kind of nationally known now.
Yeah, a little bit. Some random teams somehow have heard it, so it's kind of funny.
And Melissa, just talk about coming to Northwest Missouri State. What drew you to campus here?
Well, I guess my story is kind of similar to Zach's. I was pretty set on going to a school up in Iowa, and I decided I was going to look at one more school out of state. It was pretty out of my comfort zone, but came down here and coach was super great and the girls were super great and he offered me a spot on the team and it was just something that I couldn't pass up. And I guess, I mean, this is my fifth year, so clearly I really love it here. So.
And coming from Valley High in Des Moines.
Yeah, it's a pretty big school. Had a lot of experience there, and I think that really helped me down here, coming down and running cross country. And I think... It's different. It's different down here. The town is a lot more supportive. Not that they're not supportive in Des Moines, but here it's such a community. So, yeah, I love it.
Sounds like you had an interesting job this past summer, too, working in an arboretum.
Yeah, I did an internship. It was for the city of Urbandale. And if people don't know, an arboretum is basically like a tree park where you have a bunch of trees that you would find in Iowa. And I worked there, and I pretty much just maintained it, made sure that it looked good, kept good like rapport with the community. And it was good. I liked it a lot. But it was a lot of work. So
now that you're out practicing and running cross country, you ever come up across some trees and things and just kind of wonder a little bit, want to mark that tree and then, you know, let people know what kind of tree that is?
Sometimes, you know, we'll be running. I'm like, oh, that tree, look, that's a beautiful tree. And, I'll be like, oh, that's whatever tree it is. But I try to tone it down a little bit because it's pretty nerdy, I guess. So.
Well, what plans do you have after graduation at Northwest?
Well, that's a good question. I'm kind of looking at grad school. I don't have a specific direction yet. I'd like to stay either in a medical field, which I have a biology and a psychology degree, so I could go that way, or I'd go to grad school and do more of like a sort of botany, like biology direction. I haven't quite decided yet. I guess it's coming time to make up my mind, but for right now, I'm pretty content with where I'm at, so...
All right, and Zach, as far as future plans after Northwest, what are you looking at there?
Yeah, so I actually have just got offered to have a part-time job at working for my church when I get home, being in, like, director of the middle school and high schoolers, which is kind of what I love to do, is just work with high school, college age kids. I'm passionate about that. So I'm going to be doing that, and then there's the potential to be working with another ministry in St. Joe. So, yeah, I'm looking to do that and stay in St. Joe for a little bit, as I think it's going to be about a two-year commitment at home. So.
All right. One final question for both of you, just dealing with the upcoming season, and just talk a little bit about the goals that both of you have for this year. Zach?
Yeah, you know, just had a lot of momentum through track season, definitely the best season of my career here. And so just trying to build on that momentum and just do that best that I can to replicate the mindset that I had going into those races and track. And just pushing myself more than I've ever been pushed myself in cross country. I think it's going to take me getting out of my comfort zone to really push myself to my full potential and make it about the team, you know. Just with a lot of guys graduating, I have to I just have a more important role on the team, and just need to step up and fill those shoes that those guys laid a great foundation. I just want to continue that.
All right, Melissa, what type of goals do you have for this year?
Same as Zach. You know, I had a really, you know, my best track season, and I think going into cross country, I've trained harder than I ever have this summer, and I really just want to be good for the team. And we have a different outlook. We didn't really graduate anyone, but we have a lot of very young people. And I think the most important thing is we really need to have good leadership, and we really need to be determined and focused throughout this season. So I think it's going to be good. I think we're kind of a mystery. I don't know if Coach said that, but I definitely think we're a lot better than the polls have showed us out to be. So I think it's going to be good.
All right. Well, both of you, thanks a lot for being with us on the program
tonight.
Thank you.
And good luck to you this
season.
Thank you.
Thanks. Again, those are a couple cross-country runners at Northwest Missouri State, Melissa Shepherd and Zach Miller, who's with us on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show for this evening. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to volleyball as we'll talk with Amy Worth, the head coach of the Northwest volleyball team, as well as player off of her squad, and Maddie Bruder. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Shelter Insurance, providing coverage for home, auto, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More information from agents Brad Ford of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, Jody Nellison of Savannah, and Larry Olinger of Mound City.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware and custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through the ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
We're back on the Bearcat Coaches Show here from Carson's Sports Grill. Matt Schritt, now joined by Northwest Missouri State volleyball head coach Amy Worth, as well as Northwest Missouri State junior outside hitter Maddie Bruder. Maddie, Amy, appreciate you guys coming on the show. And kind of hard to believe the season's already back. Or is it kind of the flip side for you guys? It's been a long off season, kind of itching to get back in the groove.
I feel like it's been a long off season. I'm ready to be able to get back in there and see what this group can do for sure.
Maddie, kind of similar thing for you. A couple great seasons start off your Northwest Missouri State career, but obviously the season not ending the way you had hoped there with a loss to UCO in the MIAA tournament, but kind of itching to get back out there. What's the offseason been like as far as finding a way to get over that hump?
Yeah, we've just been really trying to get in the gym as much as possible and not let what happened last year happen again. It's just, it is in the back of our brains, and we're definitely let that feeling, you know, we felt it, but now we're just ready to get back in and work 10 times harder than we did last year.
Hey, Coach, last year 7-0 whenever you went to neutral site matches and starting the same way off this year with the Ferris State Invitational, starting that on Friday morning at 9. Going in, what's it like to kind of see teams that you're not used to kind of beating up on throughout the MIAA, seeing some fresh faces and maybe a few different things that aren't normally thrown at you?
Our team tends to play better in these situations because they have to figure some things out as we go. And they don't overthink things. And we don't know their cast of characters and all the things. And sometimes not knowing that makes our team play better, our players. And they just go and they play and they don't think. So it's fun to be able to be, you know, going and seeing these GLIAC teams because they're very good. They, you know, they have a good region. And from the standpoint of just being able to broaden our getting out of our region, seeing other teams and what else is out there, I think that's an interesting thing that I want to see some other teams that have played at a very high level as well.
When you get outside the conference and you play some of these teams, that can help down the road when it comes to postseason time. Winning these is important, but at the same time, figuring out an identity, maybe getting some young players involved, how do you kind of balance that to where Maddie's going out there doing what she needs to do, but maybe some incoming freshmen have the chance to step in and play a role in those two as well?
Yeah, I mean, we just have a lot of options this year from the standpoint of our girls are very talented, and from the standpoint of the competition that has been happening in the gym, it's been awesome to see. As we go through the season, I'm interested to see who's more consistent, and that's what I'm looking forward to see what that team chemistry can be from that standpoint. I think from last year, you know, walking in, we knew. And so I think the fun challenge for us as a coaching staff is to continue to tinker and to figure out what combination is going to work the best. And you're going to see that throughout the year. Like, we just have different looks. And I've told our girls that in order for us to get over the hump, my opinion is that we just can't walk in and do one thing. We have to be able to be flexible and change and have different looks. And so I think with our personnel, we can do that. So we've been doing some different packages with middles being able to be rights and outs being able to be rights. So I think those things are going to help as we get especially into our, you know, our conference season, because we can also have some different looks even halfway through our conference season. So it's just trying to figure out, you know, who's playing well that night. So I think last year a lot of people were used to seeing a certain lineup. There's going to be a cast of characters that will be out there every night, but I think the other support staff were able to really interchange, and I think you're going to see what that true team identity looks like.
And Maddie, my coach has talked about throughout the week of kind of mixing up the rotations and putting a lot of people in different spots and acclimating them here throughout the off season. What's it been like as a player? How's everybody kind of got the hang of it? Have there been a few times you kind of stub your toe and feel a little bit of that frustration of getting used to some new players around you?
Yeah, so just basically from the start, coach has been putting us in different situations. She's been, basically our lineups have been random, just completely random. You're playing with different people each time we do a different drill. So it's been nice because we've been around different people almost every single practice, every single drill. So it's gotten us to the point where we can play next to other people. We are comfortable with the freshmen now. We're comfortable playing next to people we didn't necessarily play next to last season. So because she has been doing that, it has warmed us up to the idea of, okay, we are going to be ready for anyone to come in at any point in time during a match or even during day two of this tournament coming up. Or like she said, we just have a ton of options coming up, so it's nice.
And as a team, everybody performed well last year, 22-win campaign. But for you individually, another first-team all-MIAA performance. And you kind of grew up in a winning program as well, going back to high school, winning a state championship in 2013. You kind of have that winning culture now, helping breed that success here at Northwest Missouri State. What's your time like been here? What have you learned from Coach Worth, and how do you continue to grow each day? She spoke about you kind of becoming more that coach on the floor. Do you see that in yourself?
For sure. She's just been really patient with me, just molding me into the leader that she knows that I can be. And it's, I haven't necessarily had a coach invest so much time in me with the leadership aspect. So being able to learn that from her has, I feel like it's helped me, great amounts as the season has even just began to start. I clearly have just a lot more to learn from her and a lot more to learn from my other captains. But I just feel like she's taught me a lot, and I've been able to just learn how to step into the role that she sees me being in these next two seasons.
What made you want to come to Northwest?
So my biggest thing was I just talked to Coach, and she told me about what she wanted out of her team and how she wanted to be better, and she wanted just the culture in general to be better, and she wanted to just win, just be that that winning team that goes out, and I wanted to be a part of that, and I caught on to that, and I wanted to help her do that. So that was a huge part of why I decided to come here, and I saw her vision, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Hey Coach, can you talk about Maddie a little bit too, just from the fact of performing every night and playing at a high level every night? Last year, she played in all 117 sets in 31 matches, and that's impressive to go out there, and the longevity of staying strong, no injuries, but also to kind of the off-season work showing through, yet late in that season and still on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, you get bumps and bruises along the way, and you have to be able to mentally push through them, and, you know, Maddie's does that well. She, from a young age, she's just been able to push through injuries, any injuries she's had, and understood, like, her brain is, she's just so competitive, you know. She can take herself over the edge sometimes with that because she is so competitive, but that's something that we pay attention to and help her with from that standpoint. But, you know, she is a big rock, you know, a big, big part of our team from the standpoint of the people that can get it done day in, day night, day in and day out. But she's been able to teach that to other people too. You know, when you're playing next to someone who's so steady, like, it makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel like I can go perform because she's doing it as well. So, you know, no doubt she was, when we were recruiting her, we knew she was going to be a big part, we knew she had the chance to really help change our program, and she definitely has done that, you know, in her first two seasons, and we're excited to see what these next two seasons bring for her.
And you've talked about throughout the team this offseason, team bonding, getting yourself better on the court, off the court. How does Steve Harvey tie into all of this?
So us juniors, it was our night for team bonding, and we wanted to do something really out there, something fun, get the girls involved. So we actually decided to do a family feud night, and we had Olivia Nowakowski as our Steve Harvey, and she slicked her hair back into this tight little bun in the back, and then she had this incredible mustache on. She borrowed a full suit, and so then she came out as Steve Harvey, and then we actually ended up tweeting at him, saying, you know, we have a better Steve Harvey here at Northwest, and all that fun stuff. And he actually ended up replying back to us on Twitter, back to our volleyball account. And it was just incredible how he even took the time to talk about how we're just going to be so busy because we have a new court. And it was just a really cool, different experience. And it was just something fun to tie into our team bonding.
And she went all out with that, too. I mean, that was that was a very tasteful outfit. The mustache looked pretty good, too. So not quite used to seeing that.
I will have to tell you, from the standpoint of them, you know, getting my vision of what team bonding means, is when a coach tells you to go do team bonding, everyone's like, ugh. And so I tell them, you cannot go to the movies. You know, I have them give me examples. We need to interact. That's what team bonding is. This season, they have taken this above and beyond even what I probably would think of. The first step is this with the Steve Harvey piece. The second piece was actually they did the real-life Mario Kart. So they had things set up. If you hit the star, you know, you went did all these things. So I would say go check out our social media page, and you'll definitely see some pictures and videos of how fun that night was too. So they have taken it above and beyond anything that I had even dreamt of for them.
And it's pretty entertaining too. And I feel like there should be a team goal set to where to kind of go along with it. Maybe you start 16 or 17 and 0, you know, make the region tournament, whatever the case may be. And then coach comes out to practice dressed as a certain character of some sort. Not shaving a head or anything. So
no.
It's still good, but
yeah.
Maybe a good outfit.
No shaving.
You have to think about that one.
All right.
Around. So Maddie, Amy, we appreciate you guys coming on the show. Good luck this week and as the season gets started.
Thank you very much.
That is Amy Wirth, head volleyball coach for Northwest Missouri State, and junior Maddie Bruder here coming on the Bearcat Coaches Show. Starting off the season Friday in the Ferris State Invitational against Northern Michigan at 9 a.m. and then Grand Valley State at 1 o'clock. And then on Saturday, Davenport University and Ferris State in that same Invitational. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more here from Carson's on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs to the area since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner, south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from your local family-owned Orslin Farm and Home, with more than 30 stores throughout the region. Orslin provides customers with the tools and materials necessary for jobs on the farm, in the garage, or at home. More information at OrslinFarmHome.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at YoungerAuction.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And up next is Rich Wright, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats, making his way over. But Matt Trenton, we'll let him talk to his boss just a little bit there in Mel. So.
Can't blame him there. The guy that has a little bit of head coaching experience to talk to you. So.
That's right. And again, as we mentioned, Rich Wright is with us, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team. And Rich, good to have you with us on the program.
Great to be here.
And let's just talk a little bit about first year as head coach, but you've been around this program a long, long time, as many people know.
Yeah, it's been a real special 6 months. I've been in Maryville, Missouri now. This is my 14th season as a full-time coach, and I was here 2 years as a graduate assistant under Coach Churchma. So, I'm as much a townie as most people around here, and it's just the culture and the program and the community are so unbelievable, and it just, it's kind of a dream come true.
Hey, Coach, obviously you've been around Northwest for quite a long time. Charlie's been around Northwest for a long time. The core of this coaching staff is back. Obviously, Coach Doyle heading down to Abilene Christian as the one guy missing there off the full-time staff from a season ago. But as you head in, face Emporia State, your first game as a head coach, do you guys throw in a few new wrinkles, or is it going to be a lot of the similar Bearcats that we've seen over the years?
Well, I think you have a core of what you do and what you believe in, but there's always going to be new wrinkles because you have new players. And so your strengths and your weaknesses aren't the same. And so the thing that we try and focus on each and every offseason as we go through the spring, we try and take a look at the pieces of the puzzle that we feel like are we're going to accentuate this fall and then start to game plan around, what those kids can do. And so, every year we kind of do that offensively and defensively, and the practice period is really camp, and kind of find out it's the great lab experiment. You kind of figure out is what you're doing kind of trending you in the right direction or the direction you thought, and then you make modifications and adjustments off of that.
And how important has it been to be able to keep your staff together as you make the transition to head coach? They have a lot of guys that you've worked with all these years.
It's tremendously important. We talked about its benefit during the recruiting process, and that really we didn't miss a beat. But that transcends into the season as well, because really the thing that you're looking for in coaching with kids is continuity. There's a certain way you say things. There's a certain delivery. There's a certain language that you use and verbiage that you use. So to be able to use the same thing year after year after year, even though you're running the same concepts, is really important. And it's the other piece that a lot of people don't understand, and this happened to me the year after Coach Churchma retired, was when I came back as the defensive coordinator, I was surrounded by Coach Boswick and Coach Gordon at that time. But nobody on my on the staff defensively that first year had been there the prior year defensively. And I didn't realize all the little things, even though they understood the culture, even though they understood Northwest, all just the little pieces about, you know, game day and who did what and how they did what, how we watched film, how you just all those things that you just take for granted. And, you know, I'm so blessed to have this staff.
And a transition in coaching staff slightly there at the top, but really it seems like the players are almost putting forth even more this offseason from everything we've heard from the Joe Quinlan workouts with him, that even more guys have been invested, sticking around, and the attendance throughout his workouts has been phenomenal.
Yeah, you know, Joe does an amazing job for our program. He, you know, I think one of the things you try and do as a strength and conditioning coach is you're always trying to raise that bar just a little bit and push the envelope a little further, and the kids have bought into that completely. And, you know, the thing is, these kids want to be, you know, we've talked so much, and deservedly so, about last year's senior class and what they were able to accomplish, and they're a special group. But this year's senior class wants to carve out its own identity. And so they understand that they're going to be more of a blue-collar group, and so the hard work's going to have to be a big piece of that.
How much fun has it been going through fall camp this year with this a team that you put together?
It's been great. You know, the one thing as a coach that's, you know, Sam, so fantastic about being around Northwest Missouri State with is that you're not coaching effort. Those kids are, they're there, they're engaged, and they want to get better. And if you've got that, then you've got the ground floor. And these kids have pushed themselves every day. Our senior class has done as good a job as any I've ever been around as far as trying to engage our true freshmen and leave a legacy. That's something we talk a lot about, is trying to leave Northwest a better place than how you found it. And they've really bought into that, and they've really tried to teach, even though they have no direct impact on our true freshman class, or no direct interaction, I should say, on our true freshman class. They've really bought into that whole ideal of trying to plant, you know, the roots that someday will grow into something special.
And one of the impressive things about that that we see grow every year is one of your units there, that defensive line, you see it go from Longacre leading the charge to Yost to Bevins and Weidel. Now you have, Spaeth and Mather and a couple of the guys stepping up, a chance to kind of take that bull by the horns and keep that legacy going of fantastic defensive lines.
Well, we're sure going to try. We've been working hard through camp. We're going to be young. We're going to be inexperienced. My whole goal and the thing I talked to him about today, and it's kind of been the mantra throughout camp, is I don't care where we're at right now. I want to see us trend towards that elite defensive line by the end of the season, and we're sure going to try and work for it, I can tell you that.
When you look at what you had last year, I mean, does it get much better than that? Have you seen any better than that?
It's been as good as I've had. those guys were pretty good. They were a special group. But, you know, kind of like I've told a lot of people, it's when you grab the rope, you may lose one member of that team that could pull pretty hard, but if the other eight or nine guys can pull just that much harder, what you do is you make up for that one loss that you have. And so the kids that we got are going to play hard. They're going to play intense. They're going to make some mistakes, and that's okay as long as we learn and get better every week.
You know, one thing that you've talked about is how much you appreciate what you're seeing out of your linebackers and your secondary this season and the type of skill that they have for you.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that hopefully we can do is we can cover people down a little bit more in man-on-man situations. I think we can do that a little bit with a little more regularity than we did last year. It's just trying to accentuate some of the positives. We've got Eddie Ritchie was our starting corner last year, and so to move him to safety, obviously now when you spin him down on a slot, he can cover people pretty well, and so that's a good thing. And the linebackers we've got, you know, they have a lot of experience. You know, they may not have been starters a year ago, but they have a lot of experience and played in some, you know, really big games over the years. And so it's not exactly like we're breaking in new starters. You know, you take a guy like Ben Althoff, who played in a lot of significant snaps last fall. He's going to be our starting Mike. You know, you've got Nick Hess, who was a starter, coming back. I've got Marcus Jones and Anthony Lane at the starting two corner positions. I've got Eddie out on the field. You know, so we've got some pieces.
Now, you mentioned Eddie Ritchie there and the athleticism that he brings to the table. And he was coming up as a young guy primarily on special teams. He was still always a ball hawk, whether it was blocking kicks, scooping them up, scoring. He's a guy that always finds himself around the ball. No Kevin Berg, no Jack Young back there in the secondary, but how does he kind of take that leadership role on while still being kind of that Ed Reed back there?
I'll tell you what was fun for me is this summer, you know, again, most of our kids are here in the summer, and so my office is just down the hall from the film room, And there was one day when I was sitting in there doing some work at about 4:30 in the afternoon, and I heard somebody putting on an absolute clinic. And I was like, is that Coach Clayton? And I'm writing and scribbling, and I'm like, that's not Coach Clayton's voice. And I walked down the hall, and I came around the corner, and it's Eddie Ritchie. And he's got a room full of our defensive secondary in there. And I mean, he is, if this is the threat, we're into this check. If this is the threat, then we're into this check. This is how we're going to play this. This is what we'll show. Once they come off of this, we're going to show this and move to this. If that guy motions, we're going to do this way. I was just like, oh boy. So I sat him down and I said, Ed, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to be a college football coach. I was like, you call me here in another year. We're going to discuss that. So he's comforting to have back there. He's our quarterback in the back end. And he's going to make most of the checks tomorrow night. You know, one of the things that we know is that we will have the 12th man here tomorrow night, and it will be loud, and I can't wait for it. Our kids can't wait for it. We practice with the Jumbotron on as loud as we can get it every single day, and so we're working hand signals all week, because if you haven't prepared for that kind of noise, it can be a disruption. And so we've all got to be on the same page from a communication standpoint, and I feel like Eddie's the guy to do that for us.
Well, you see a player like Eddie be able to do that with the rest of his team. A lot of that, it really seems to me like it goes back to when they come into the program and the education they get on watching game film and preparing. That's just kind of a natural progression for a lot of your players.
That's the thing that makes my transition so much easier. It's not something that I invented. This was something that was in place. This is what Coach Churchman laid the foundation for. And it was just a way of doing things and how you go through your preparation. And we didn't always have the best players, but we were going to have kids that were really well prepared. And when we got out there on Saturday, we were going to execute. And you know, you just kind of continue to move that forward. And the younger kids learn from the older kids. And it's a big part of what makes this program, you know, unique.
Offensively, obviously there's a transition there at quarterback. Kyle Zimmerman, fantastic, and kind of came out and may have been a little under the radar that kind of exceeded expectations with what he did through the air. Obviously very efficient. New quarterback at the helm coming around this year. How much bigger is it to get that running game involved early and often against a team like Emporia?
I think it's really important. You know, one of the things that you try and do for a new starter quarterback in particular is don't ask him to go out and win football games for you right away. Just let him manage the game. Hopefully you've got enough skill around you that if he distributes the ball and hits the open reads and does the things that he's supposed to, if you have the ability to hand the ball off, it takes a lot of pressure off that guy. You know, as we all know, you know, that's the guy that everybody, for good or for bad, that everybody's going to turn and look at. And so if you can kind of get his feet wet for the first few games and let him just get into the flow of being the guy, you know, that can really pay off huge. And having three backs that can all do different things well, you know, hopefully bodes well for us moving forward. You know, you have Cameron and Jordan and Emmanuel, and all three of those kids kind of do different things. And so they create matchup problems, not just in, you know, running the football, but catching the ball out of the backfield. And so I'm excited to watch them.
And looking at your receiving corps, it looks like you've got some guys there that are going to be fun to watch this year as well.
Absolutely. You know, and everybody talks about, you know, Sean Bain, and he is the vertical threat for our football program. But, you know, we've got some kids there. You know, Shane Williams has been a remarkable player for us over the years, as well as Jordan Bishop. You know, those guys have been mainstays in our program. And we've got a couple new guys that we like. And, you know, we got a couple young guys that we think are going to emerge and step forward. So it's just exciting to see. The thing when you watch our offense, and it's been this way since I was a GA in 1995 and 1996 under Coach Sobota, was that, you know, they were always big proponents of distributing the ball to lots of people, because, one, you get everybody involved, and, two, you become really difficult to defend. And I look at it from a defensive coordinator's lens, and that's definitely the case. The more people you can get the ball to, you know, the harder you make my job as far as being able to take certain pieces of that away.
And one of those guys, I'm curious your thoughts on Kinvey Sykes. We were able to stop out there and see a little bit of practice yesterday. And big kid that can go up and get it, and it feels like that's a good matchup for you kind of moving forward.
That's what we were looking for when we recruited him. We were looking for an impact guy. We were looking for a guy that was a little longer, a little bigger. He had a very productive career out at junior college in California. Just kind of starting to learn our offense, just kind of starting to learn how to fit in. Again, it's that progression piece that you're looking for a new kid. Try and keep things somewhat simple for him to begin with, and then let him mature as the season goes along. And we think he can be pretty productive for us.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Emporia State tomorrow night. They come in ranked fourth in the nation. The Bearcats ranked number one. Really no easy way to start the season there, but just kind of talk about facing the Hornets tomorrow night.
You know, they're a great football program. I have a lot of respect for Coach Higgins. He and I have become pretty good friends over the last few years. We've played him often enough. We should exchange Christmas cards. He's a good guy, and he's tried to do a lot of the same things. And we've talked about that, a lot of the same things that we've done here in our program, tried to build it from within, do it with high school kids. They're philosophically a little bit different from us, but, at the same time, they've been really successful in what they've done. You know, I think I read a stat the other day that said that they've lost one conference game that was not to Northwest Missouri State in the last 2 years. So, I mean, they're winning football games in this league, and that's not an easy thing to do. They're explosive offensively. They can get the ball out on the perimeter. That's kind of what they believe in, is trying to put themselves in the shotgun and get the ball out quickly to create one-on-one matchups in space. And if they can break a tackle, they can hurt you. Defensively, 4 or 5 years ago, they were more blitz predominant. They've kind of simplified what they've done. You know, they've become more base, tried to leverage things and be sound, and I think it's been a good fit for them on the defensive side as well.
When you look at Braxton Marstall and what he brings to the table at quarterback, is he the most dynamic signal caller, you think, in the MIAA?
You know, it's tough to say that, just because without seeing some of the new guys, you never really know until you play against them. But I'd say as far as the returning guys that I've faced this last season, yeah. He can do it all. He's got some moxie. He's a really good kid. I got to visit with him a little bit at the MIAA Media Day, and just a pleasant kid to be around. He's a run threat. He obviously can throw it. I wouldn't call him a blazer, but he's got great wiggle, and he's got good pocket presence, so he knows how to buy time to get his receivers open and let it kind of turn into yard ball, and he'll find them. So, you know, we got to do a good job of trying to keep him contained.
What are some of the overall keys to an opening game, particularly when you're playing a team like Emporia State, that you want to accomplish tomorrow night?
I think the first and foremost is to be fundamentally sound on special teams. That's an area where a lot of big plays typically happen, whether it's a block punt or a kickoff return for a touchdown. Those are plays that can change momentum quickly. So we've got to be sound on special teams. The second thing is that, you know, we got to try and be fundamentally sound both offensively and defensively. We got to go out and execute our game plan. We got to try not to do too much. You know, in the first game, sometimes people get hyped up and they're trying to, you know, do more than their 1/11th, so to speak. And you know, so you got to guard a little bit against that. Offensively, I think hanging on to the football, you know, is always big, but in a first game, it's particularly so, because, you know, those short fields and easy scores can, you know, either way, you know, can change the outcome of game, and then it's just your big explosive plays. You need them on offense, because it helps make, you know, you get quick, easy points, and then defensively, obviously the opposite. So, you know, the thing I talk to the kids about, be fundamentally sound on special teams, do your 1/11th offensive and defensively. Offense, take care of the football. Defense, minimize the explosives. So I feel like if we do that, then we have a chance.
How do you kind of balance that between staying calm, don't get overhyped, but then at the same time, I mean, playing a playoff team from last year, obviously it's the region's tough as far as getting into the playoffs after the end of the season. So you got to kind of take it with that postseason atmosphere, but at the same time, keep the guys under control. How do you approach that in week one?
I think you just try and approach it like it's another game. And the nice piece for that here is we've been in so many of those games. You know, it's when you're at Northwest and you've been on the kind of the run that we've been on, you've always got the bullseye on your back. I don't care where it is in the season. So then you do that, and you go through the regular season, you get to the playoffs, and then the bullseye gets bigger. You know, and our kids are accustomed to being in that situation. And so you just treat it like it's another game. I talking to a lot of other coaches, and really not talking but listening in their preparation, sometimes I think there's an overemphasis placed on an individual game. Guys, it's week one. You know, it is what it is. You know what I mean? And as much as people on the outside want to hype it, and it's a big game, I'm not trying to diminish that, but at the same time, it's week one. you know, we're not going to be judged on what we do in week one. We're going to be judged on a body of work. So let's just go out and execute and focus on plays. Don't focus on outcomes. Focus on this snap. Then focus on this series. Then focus on this quarter. Then focus on this half. Then we're going to get to the second half. We're going to do the same thing. And if you kind of take your mind more into those kind of compartmentalized wins and losses, the bigger objective usually takes care of itself.
All right. Well, Rich, thanks a lot for being with us on the program tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow night, isn't it?
Thanks so much. I'm excited to get this thing going.
All right. Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. When we come back, we'll talk with Athletic Director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the region a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at gotristate.com or at 660-582-3677.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce and Teal Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at 660-582-2273 or at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or 582-8800.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. With online banking, including remote deposit using your mobile device, the right bank is right at your fingertips. More at nvb.com or at any of the 8 locations.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, we are broadcasting live from Carson's Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the Athletic Director, Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchman. And a lot of changes around campus this summer with the indoor facility work on that beginning. And because of that, that means there will be some things that the fans going to the game tomorrow night need to know about as far as parking and the tailgate activities before the game.
Well, that's right, John. You know, one lot is closed. Or really, it was our main tailgate lot. I think it's lot 62, the one where the band practiced, and that's fenced off for the indoor project. That's where they use their staging area. So that lot is entirely closed. The lot next to it, the gravel lot, is still open. So we're going to have that for tailgating. We're going to use the lot on the south side of the Fine Arts Building. I think it's lot 1. That entire lot is going to be used for tailgating, and then we're going to have a family-friendly tailgating area on the south side of the softball diamond, from the softball diamond out to Icon. That whole lot, that's going to be an alcohol-free zone, and then we also have an area for the RVs. We've got them in Donaldson Park, so we've got them spread all over, and then the visitors used to be behind the Fine Arts Building, and we've moved them. They're going to be in the parking lot by the administration building. So, we'll have some changes and some confusion, but, you know, I think everybody's, more than anything else, are excited about the game. And so and we just hope they understand. You don't like change like that, but it's progress is what it is, and it's exciting that that indoor facility is coming up.
It'll be a little bit chaotic, but, yeah, like you said, it's kind of worth it when you see that facility that's going to go up out there, and in the end, all worth it.
Well, I can't think of a better reason to have some change than to have that indoor facility going up. That is really exciting, and, you know, they're making progress on that, and it'll be fun because as the season goes, you know, in the next 2 to 3 months, you're going to see a lot of change out there. They're about to the point where they're going to start pouring footings and You know, I would guess that before the football season's over, we'll have walls up and things like that. So it is, and I think everybody will understand. The excitement about what we're getting there has got to offset any inconvenience that we have for 1 year.
And I know, talking with you the day of the groundbreaking, that just one of the momentous occasion that is to be able to get this facility off the ground and get to start building here.
Well, it's a game changer for us, and it's something that that we've dreamt about for a long time, and I don't know if many of us ever believed that it was really going to happen until we really got into it. And just a lot of people have made it possible, and their generosity is why we're building it. And we can't wait to see what's going to happen and get it done, and see how it impacts all of our sports.
And how's it compared to seeing Bearcat Stadium go up a couple decades ago almost, and as opposed to a new field house?
Well, it's a little different because it's a little further away. So, you know, Bearcat Stadium, every day I could look out there and see what was going on and what wasn't going on. And so that was exciting at that time. But I think that, like I said, once we get the footings in and they start putting the walls up, it's going to be pretty exciting, because I don't know that anybody really realizes how big it is until we start getting that building up. It's a huge building.
This is really a fun time of year, a lot of optimism for all the fall programs as they get started here, and the first weekend for a lot of these to get out and get some competition going, and just a great time to be on campus.
It really is. It's fun to have the students back, fight for a parking place and all those kinds of things. You guys know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
But no, it is. It's great to have the students back and just be back into the routine. We checked, I think, earlier today, and we're closing in on 2,000 student tickets already have been taken for tomorrow night. And you know how students are. Most of them wait until the last minute. So I think we're going to have a tremendous student crowd. I think we'll have a great crowd. We've got home cross-country meet on Friday, and then soccer opens up at home next Wednesday. So, a lot going on. Volleyball's on the road. And so it's really a great time, and, here we go again.
What's it like for you, a guy that has had a few wins throughout his coaching career, to get up in Lampkin and walk down the halls of the coaches' offices and see everybody chomping at the bit and so much potential and so much momentum kind of going forward with these sports and these current coaches?
Well, it's exciting because, you can feel the energy. That's one of the things that I've really enjoyed more than anything else about being back, is just the energy that you get from from the hard work that they put in. And it's all of our coaches, and they just, every sport, they're doing a great job right now. And you want to see them be successful, and it energizes me, because I want to do things, try to find some more things we can do to help them be successful. And that's facilities is the name of the game, so that's what we're working on.
All right, well, Mel, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Matt.
That's Athletic Director of Northwest Missouri State, Mel Churchmill. We'll be back and wrap things up for our first edition of the KXCV KRW Bearcat Coaching Show for this season. That's coming up right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Younger Auction Company. Auctioneer Mark Younger and his team simulcast online live auctions in all states. Younger Auction Company specializes in real estate, farm equipment, collectibles, and antiques. More at youngerauction.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Home by Sonia at 103 South Main in Maryville. Home by Sonia provides full-service interior styling along with custom window coverings, flooring, furniture, and more. Information is available online at homebysonia.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs, from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. Learn more at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for Bearcat Radio Network comes from SSM Health St. Francis Hospital, offering a range of health services in the Northwest Missouri region, including 24/7 emergency services and cancer care. More at SSMHealthSt.Francis.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch and dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. A reminder, you're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey as we wrap up our first show of the season. And Matt, we've got a big night coming up tomorrow night.
It's going to be a fun one. You know, there's something about the Thursday night home opener here at Bearcat Stadium. There's nothing like Bearcat Stadium, especially that season opener is really special. So a little more stress on you to get things ready a couple days early instead of a Saturday. But once the time comes and it's kickoff, it's going to be a very exciting time.
And we'll have the broadcast on KXCV, KRNW, as well as the rest of the Bearcat Radio Network at tomorrow evening. Our airtime, 6 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day. And 7 o'clock is kickoff as the Cats open up with Emporia State tomorrow evening. Again, my thanks to everyone involved with our program tonight. We'll be back with you again a day earlier than normal next week on a Wednesday night due to next Thursday's road game for the Bearcat football team. But after that, we'll be back to our Thursday evening shows. But again, we'll be back with you next Wednesday at 6 o'clock on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Again, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.